podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, the podcast on the Prince George Cougars. Ty is the guy. Ty Edmonds holds the PG Cougars record for most goalie wins, 100 on the nose. Welcome to the CAT Scan, Ty.
Thank you very much.
When you hear 100 wins, it's a record, you think of what?
Just the long 4 years and a lot of team success along the way, especially on the tail end. But I just think about the guys I started with and the guys I finished with. And if it wasn't for them, I definitely wouldn't have hit that number.
And we got to offer you some congratulations. You are a new dad. Tell us about that experience.
It definitely flips your world upside down, but every day is something new and it's exciting. It was a little bit of a scary process towards the end for my fiance there, but she was amazing throughout and he's doing great. He's happy and healthy and it gives you something extra to look forward to every day when you come home.
3 months old now?
Yeah, just over 3 months. So he's hitting those milestones. So it's crazy how quick the time's gone.
Sort of puts a new perspective on things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's you definitely notice a lot more little things day to day evolved around him. So it's and you notice the lack of sleep a little bit more, and a lot of your time's added up with stuff you didn't think you'd be doing day to day. So it's like I said, it's amazing, and it's puts a new perspective on a lot of things.
All right, so you're from Winnipeg. You also, I believe, lived in Whitehorse. Is that correct?
Yep.
Right. Now you came to Prince George to play hockey. You've been not with the Cougars. You know, now it's been what, 6-7 years?
Yeah.
Why did you stay in Prince George?
My last season, kind of going into my last season, I met my fiance, and then most of my family moved away from Manitoba. A lot of my friends moved away, a lot of my family, my parents included, my brother, and I fell in love with living here. I always loved being here, and my fiance was from here, so we decided to come back, and we have never left and don't really have any plans on leaving anytime soon.
So what are you doing now, first hockey-wise, work-wise?
Hockey-wise, not very much. I work with a couple kids specifically, a kid specifically named Jason. He plays on the under 13. I guess it's Pee-wee now. I always mess up the terminology. But he's in his, he's 13 years old. He's on the Tier 1 team, so they're going for provincials this weekend. So I've worked with him for a couple of years now, and that's pretty much the extent of it. Once work got busy and the family got started, unfortunately, I had to draw back from a lot of my private commitments, and then mostly with Caribou was kind of, after 4 years, it was tough, but I had to kind of bow out of that.
How closely do you follow the PG Cougars? And how closely do you follow their goaltending situation?
I try to keep up to date as best I can. Social media does a good job of that. It helps you kind of stay in the loop. And obviously with the team's success, it seems like more and more people talk to you about it day to day. So it's just something that it always intrigues me, and it will forever. So it's something I try and follow as close as I can, whether they're doing good or whether they're not. So, but like I said, you go on Twitter and you see a lot of it, and you go on the Western League website, you see a lot of it, and it helps you keep up to date on it.
I would imagine you can relate probably more than anyone to Josh Ravensbergen in that he made the team as a 17-year-old. Technically, he was 16 at the time, but the late birthday being in November, but he's turned 17. You made the PG Cougars as a 17-year-old. If I recall, you were a WHL goaltender of the week at that young age, and he's had all these accolades, starting an incredible career with 6 shutouts in 13 games. Nobody has started a career like that. His 6 shutouts tying the league record for most by a rookie. So give us some perspective on what you think he's been going through. And with his kind of results, he's been in the top 3 to 5 in terms of goals against average and save percentage for the entire season, all of that. How do you sort of look at his situation?
It's definitely got some similarities. Obviously, his numbers have superseded mine for his first year by a lot, which is it's very impressive to watch and see what he's doing. I think at that age and coming in as someone making the team as in quotations, a backup, it makes it a little bit easier coming in and just kind of playing and having fun and enjoying it. And obviously I've never met the kid and I've never seen him play very much, but I'm assuming he's just going out there and enjoying every minute of it and having someone ahead of him that's mentoring him. And obviously that's paying dividends. And I think if I had to put myself in his head, he's probably just enjoying every minute and building confidence game by game, especially the first 13 games. It's something where you'd go online and you couldn't believe that every other game seemed to be a shutout. You don't see that very often, but I think with Ty in front of him there, it helps him probably stay confident and know that he's got someone to lean on if he falters.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, he was pegged as the backup. He's originally coming into camp, pegged as third string. A year ago, he was fifth string, kept moving his way up. He's played so darn well, he's put himself into the prime position now. And Ty Young has sort of had to watch him play the majority of the games down the stretch as they've had to make some decisions going into playoffs. So that was a different situation than when you came in to PG. Just sort of recall you as a 17-year-old, you got to play a lot, but then as you got older, you got to play more and everything like that. Just sort of refresh everybody about how your career got going at 17. And he wasn't drafted. You were drafted, but not until the ninth round.
Yeah, it's good to see him have some stability. Obviously, Mark, from the top down, has given him an excellent co-partner in net there. So they have that stability. Unfortunately, we were going through a different period in time where we didn't have that stability. I've lost track of how many partners I had in the first 2 years of my career. But for me, and I'll always be fortunate to Mark Hulick for giving me the opportunity, I was able to play. And some days wasn't so great. Some days your head wasn't always in the mindset of being excited to play. But given the opportunity of playing, I think it was 55 and 60 games in the first 2 seasons. So it gave you the opportunity to learn your way through the league. And a lot of the accolades that I got towards the end of my career, I wouldn't have hit if it wasn't for the opportunities I was given. There's some days I think I sit back and wish I maybe had someone in front that was someone like Ty, who was a draft pick, or someone who's been in the league a while that was through those bumps and bruises that could kind of give you a little bit of shoulder to lean on. But like I said, if it wasn't for the start I was given and the way I was able to jump in there and play, I wouldn't be where I am today.
So 55 games as a 17-year-old, and you know, Josh won't get to that number because he's had to share the net with Ty Young, but that was quite a load, and the team wasn't that good that year, really, was it?
No, we struggled. It was I think we came down the last couple of weeks where we were close to the playoffs. It never really looked great. It was between, I think, us and Tri-City and Kamloops. We were all kind of struggling towards the end. But no, it was not what I expected coming in. I did not expect to play that many games, but it was definitely a learning curve. Obviously starting out very well and then kind of hitting some highs and some lows. But yeah, it was not what I expected. So it's good to see Josh and Ty be able to share the net and not have to put on the workload that you see goalies do from years past. Now it's kind of a 1A, 1B kind of split, and you see that a lot moving up into the higher ranks and in the Western League level. So it's good to see they have that.
And then 60 games as an 18-year-old, as you mentioned, 45 as a 19-year-old, and then 53 as a 20-year-old. And I imagine as you look back to your last season of junior hockey, there was some highs, but certainly some lows.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. It's funny. It's something that never seems to go away, but it is cool getting to tell people that now it's the second banner that the team's raised, and hopefully in the next couple weeks with maybe a Western Conference title or something in the playoffs, there'll be some more, but it is cool to kind of connect our team to the team now that just won the BC division, obviously a lot earlier than we did it, but yeah, it's a tough way to go, but everything happens for a reason, and unfortunately, it just wasn't meant to be, and you think about it quite a bit. You try not to as much as you can, but yeah, I'm hoping that these guys, these 20-year-olds and the 19-year-olds, can finish out on a high note and have more success and build off of what they had last year.
So when you think of 16-17, your last year with the Prince George Cougars, your last year in the WHL, positive thoughts, disappointing thoughts, combination of thoughts? When people talk to you about it, how freely are you about, you know, going behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff?
I'd say a combination of thoughts. I think the first couple of years were hard. It still sucks. You think about, you always want to do the best you can in any part of your life. And that's a part that obviously we didn't get to succeed in. There's obviously opinions that go into it. And I think it's a little bit easier now to free flow the older you get and the more you're out. But I try not to get caught up in it. Everything happens for a reason. And I'm very happy with how everything turned out in my life outside of hockey. Yeah, I wish we would have had more success. But I think our combination at the end was just not the right combination, and unfortunately we couldn't get over that hump.
Right, and I'm not going to harp a lot about 16-17. It's very well documented, and you know all of that. But now that some time has passed a little bit more, as you look back, and without trying to put blame any specific area, you know, I hear, you know, and people have heard, you know, maybe the chemistry wasn't the best and all that kind of thing. Is there anything that you sort of, as you look back and you thought, you know, going to that Portland series, the high expectations, big playoff run, all that, it didn't happen. You're not the first team this has happened to. But now with time, what can you tell us about that?
I'm sure there's a lot of opinions about it, and I'm sure a lot are true and some aren't. I'll try not to get myself in trouble 8 years later down the road, but it is something where it is frustrating. I tell people all the time, we ran into a high-skilled, high-speed team, and they played a different style than us, and they're well-coached, and you look at some of those guys that moved on into playing the NHL and playing the professional ranks, and I think we had a good combination of players and coaching staff and everything from the top down. I just, unfortunately, we weren't able to find that right mix at the right time, and a better team than us took advantage of it. And it's one of those things where you look at the NHL and the Western League every year, you see matchups that teams like and teams don't like. And I'm sure we would have way rather had Tri-City win that last game and would end up playing against them. But at the end of the day, it worked out the way it did. And unfortunately, it also ended the way it did.
You were hoping for some kind of a college career, the scholarship that goes with being a WHL, but things didn't really work out in Lethbridge. Sort of tell us about that and the decision at that point not to continue to pursue hockey.
Yeah, I started skating at the age of two, age of three, and played hockey all my life. It was all I committed to, and it's all I knew, and it's all I loved. And I just got to the point where I was worn down, and I was able to have some freedom in school, and able to travel, and able to explore my life a bit, and life outside of hockey, and outside a little bit of restrictions from junior. And it got me realizing that, you know what, I'm not in love with what I'm doing, and I'm too young to be doing something that I'm not passionate about. And I had some good conversation with my coaches at the time, and like I said, everything happens for a reason. Unfortunately, 2 years later, the program got cut, surprisingly. So it would have ended there at some point, whether I ended on my own terms or the school ended it for a lot of my teammates' terms. But it was just something where I got to the point where mentally and physically I just was not into it anymore, and I wanted to experience life outside of that. And there's a lot of what ifs that go into going to school, before school and after school, but it's something where I'm happy how everything turned out and happy where my life ended up. And it's kind of just where it ended, just kind of mentally worn down from it all.
You do seem very happy. You do seem very pleased. We're doing this podcast just after work and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, from that point of view, because we hear, you know, from a lot of players, you know, hockey is everything for so long as they can keep it up. But your situation, a little bit different, and you were able to sort of turn off the switch where a lot of guys can't.
Yeah, it was a really hard decision. It was not easy, but I made the decision to go to Lethbridge and commit to the program there. And it was just something where at the end of the day, my heart wasn't into it. And I sat down with my coach and just said, it's not fair to me or fair to you guys for me to be taking up a scholarship here when I'm not 100% invested in it. I was 100% involved and invested all season. But once the season ended, I realized, okay, my time is going to be better served doing something else. And I miss a lot of the guys and a lot of the teammates and a lot of things surrounding hockey. I miss hockey on and off every single day. But for me, it was the decision where, you know what, I'm ready to move on and I'm ready to do something else. And luckily, in a sense, I was able to go out on my own terms, whether it was early or late or whatever it may be. But yeah, that's the sad part, is the reality is every year you see it where some guys just aren't able to make that decision. It's made for them.
Were there some offers for you? I would imagine you are a good enough goaltender. I watched you play enough to have been somewhere in the minor leagues or somewhere in Europe. Were there some offers? Were there some opportunities? If so, why did you say, no, I'm not going to take that route?
Yeah, there was. There were some opportunities to play some minor pro, but I just, every guy that knows that's played here, you ride the bus 8 hours, 5-6 hours minimum wherever you go, and I just wasn't into the, I didn't want to get back on it and ride the bus and kind of have that lifestyle again. And I think the biggest thing for me, and when I talk to guys that are close to done or guys that are finishing, was, is that I think I had a little bit of a misconception on school where I, with the scholarship program, I didn't want to lose that. And I wanted to make sure that that was something I took advantage of. And I'm sure I could have explored pro for 4 or 5 months whenever the deadline is. But then my thought process was, I don't want to lose on something that I've worked 5 years to get. So yeah, there were some opportunities, and I think Europe's a little bit harder to get into unless you have a little bit of experience outside of junior hockey. But it would have been cool to definitely explore something overseas and try something like that. But for me, my decision was that I want to go to school and play somewhere that's kind of close to my fiance and my family, and not have to travel too much. And Lethbridge was a good spot for that.
And what about now? Do you have any fun playing hockey? Have you put the skates and pads away? What about any kind of recreation in terms of that?
To be honest, after my last year in Lethbridge, I think I've played maybe 4 competitive games of hockey. I played in the senior league down at Quesnel for, I think, 4 or 5 games there. But similar to junior, just my weekends were tied up with traveling with hockey. And it was something that I got out of for a reason. I didn't want to jump back into full time. I thought I would dip into it, and I enjoyed it. And I've definitely been asked, but my answer is always no. And the pads are still sitting downstairs. I love going out as a player. I love going out and coaching. But the goalie pads will be downstairs for a little bit while longer.
But you're now, you're still young. You're not even, what, 28 yet?
27, yeah.
27 now, going to be 28. So I imagine the phone calls will still come, and you'll probably, somebody will say, you never know when he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll be 31. He'll have this, thing. Hey, I want to just get back for a year. But you've sort of put him away, enough time now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Pretty much when I got back to town, I got I was fully in on coaching. I signed up to do to work with the U17 team, which was I guess an expansion, maybe isn't the correct word, but it was a new league in the BC Minor Hockey League. And I didn't realize how much of a commitment that was, so it kind of took away from my own hockey, which is fine because I love coaching and I love being involved, and the 4 years were a great experience. But yeah, I got so involved with coaching, and then working with Nick doing Northern Elite Hockey, and then with BC Hockey, and then some other private stuff. It just kind of, coaching was the top of the list at that point, and what was my biggest commitment. So the playing myself took a back seat.
We're speaking with Ty Edmonds. He is the all-time PG Cougars leader in goalie wins with 100, right on the nose. You've talked about coaching. How do you coach goaltenders? Is there something that, because goalies' minds are a little bit different. There's, a lot of people think they're a little wacky, which I'm sure you would agree, right? How much of it is technical? How much is it mental? How do you help coach a goaltender and get him to the highest level?
I just always try to put myself in their shoes and their skates. And I just try to make it enjoyable for them. I try and talk to them like how I would like to be talked to with respect, and just try and pass on as much as I can. Every goalie is different, and so you just try and coach them to the best of their ability, and the talents that they have, you try and bring them out, and then the stuff they need to work on, you try and pinpoint it and put it into their style of game. But the biggest thing for me is I want to go out there and give them all the knowledge I have, but I also want them to enjoy it and have fun. That was a big thing for me and something I lost towards the end of my career. And I want these kids to know that, yeah, hockey is great and it's serious and competitive and you want to win. But at the end of the day, we're here doing it for fun. And a lot of my lessons, that was the big thing, was you get 45 minutes of working hard and seriousness, but then we end with 10, 15 minutes of having fun and doing something that's enjoyable for the shooters and for myself and for the goalies, just to remember at the end of the day, that's why we all do it.
Did the pressure get to you? If so, how?
In terms of my last year here?
No, not just your last year, but as a goaltender, you said you started at 2-3 years old, being on skates. You know, you had played until you were 20. A lot of everything was about hockey. If I sort of gathered things, you lost a little bit of passion. I'm wondering if that was partly due to pressure of being the goaltender, being a guy that at 17 was playing so many games, having everything on your shoulders, that 16, 17 year, it still all, you know, everybody looks at the goaltender, whether it's right or wrong, everything like that. I'm just wondering about that pressure.
Oh, yeah, of course, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel any, because a lot of it I put on myself, and a lot of it was self-pride and self-motivation, that I was never satisfied with the end result unless it was our team winning and putting myself in a good spot to it, which was important. But for me, the pressure, of course, came from external pressure, but a lot of it was internal in myself, and that was somewhere I kind of felt that relief once hockey was done, is I pressure myself every day to succeed at whatever I may be doing. But when I was playing, there was a lot of pressure on myself from just the expectations and the work ethic I had and the abilities I knew that I had, that I wanted to succeed and my team to succeed. So yeah, it gets to you to a certain point, and it's nice to have a relief now where you don't have to worry about it nearly as much, especially in a hockey sense. But yeah, there's especially our last season there, you don't really realize it until you talk to people outside of hockey how much expectations and how much pressure there was outside of it than that what we put on ourselves within the team.
When you were a Prince George Cougar, what was game night like when you knew you were going to be in the net?
I'd say, honestly, there's probably two answers to that. The first one would be when we had our old ownership and we had our it's not as much fans in attendance. And then probably the second answer would be our new ownership with the new attendance and the kind of rejuvenation of the team and the rejuvenation from the owners. For me, I tried to keep my routine the same. I changed it up probably a couple years in and tried to be a little more relaxed and a little more carefree. And I felt that gave me more success. But for me, I tried to keep a similar routine throughout. And for me, my favorite was Friday, Saturdays here at home with whether it was one of our special nights or a jersey night or whatever, where we had something where you knew that the CN Center was going to be a little bit more full. And so it gave you a little bit extra pep in your step walking into the rink.
So as a player, what difference did it make to you going from the Brodsky ownership to Edge Pro?
Oh, boy. There was a big change, and to this day, I never met Rick. I don't know the Brodsky family. I know Dallas, obviously, from drafting me and being through that. But just the care and the passion and obviously the financial side they put into the team and being local and being proud of the team and wanting the team to stay and succeed. Because I'm sure everyone has in the back of mind, I don't know how much longer we would have lasted if it wasn't for the Edge Pro's decision to come in and buy the team. But just from the facilities to the meals, to the hotels, to the bus, to the extracurricular, just the stuff they did for us to make us feel like, okay, you're in the best possible spot and the best way to succeed. So, and everything that I've seen from when I stopped playing, it looks like it's continued on. So it was a big change. And, but like I said, everything happened for a reason. If it wasn't for Dallas and, Wade and,
That's Wade Klippenstein.
Yes. Some of the scouting staff as such as well. It wouldn't be for them, I wouldn't have been here. So who knows if the new ownership was in place, if I ever would have been drafted here and would ever played for the Cougars. So yeah, it's a tale of two stories, but it's an interesting start. And they definitely have carried on the legacy since I've left.
Yeah, you're referring to Dallas Thompson. He was a general manager of the PG Cougars. Now, we talked about the fact that you were drafted in the ninth round. Were you expecting to be drafted? Did you think you were going to go higher? If you thought you were going to go higher, what's your mind like going when round six and seven or eight are completed and all of that?
Yeah, a lot of it was when you're younger, you have coaches that coach your team and scouts and people that will kind of, they like to boost you up and they'll be like, this is where we see you going. This is what we expect. And the Bantam draft's a big deal. I remember at my school, it's something that a lot of the guys that I played against in my Bantam league went to my school. So it was something where you followed closely. And in Manitoba back my age of the 96s, we didn't have a lot of top tier goaltenders at that age. So my mindset was I want to be the best in the province, and I was trending in that direction. So I was expecting that something maybe not the ninth round was going to happen. But I just remember I was driving home from school disappointed. Then I got a notification that I ended up getting drafted, and never heard of Prince George, didn't know where it was, but I was just happy to be selected. And then history is made from there.
So how did you make the team and such an impact in your mind at such a young age?
I think I really had no choice, to be honest, with the injuries and with our depth chart. I really had no choice but to step in and try my best to make a difference. And like I said, I never expected to come in and play that many games. I'm sure if the flip side worked and I was the one that was only playing 23 games or 22 games, whatever we would have ended up with, I'm sure my impact would have been a lot different. But yeah, I don't think I really had much of a choice. It was kind of sink or swim. And I think I treaded water the best I could through the year. And then we made some organizational changes, and then everything kind of got better from there.
As a 16-year-old, though, you were close to home. You were playing Manitoba Junior. Tell us about that.
That was actually a former scout, Troy Leslie, for the Prince George Cougars. An ownership group from Verdun bought the team, actually, which was like a 5-minute drive from my house in Winnipeg, and relocated them to Verdun, brand new rink. And so Troy brought me in. I was drafted to it was actually the Winnipeg Saints, who turned into the Verdun Oil Capitals. So I was drafted to Winnipeg. And I went into camp and wasn't really sure what to expect. And I had a good conversation with Troy and his brother, who's now Chad, who's the general manager of the Swift Current Broncos. We had a conversation, and it kind of was, if you want to play here and make this your opportunity and Prince George doesn't work out, then we want to have you. And it all worked out, and it was an amazing opportunity. I was able to come up here and play for a bit. I was able to play in the prospects game out in Nova Scotia. I was able to experience the province and experience players that weren't 16 and 17, men that were 18, 19, 20. So it was a great learning curve for me, and I think it really helped me jump into my first year in Prince George.
So you mentioned that you haven't met the 17-year-old goaltender of the PG Cougars, Josh Ravensbergen, but you certainly have a connection in that Sean Murray was his goaltending coach, and he was yours. He recently passed away. Tell us about the impact that he had.
Yeah, Sean. It's tough to talk about because I remember I got Nick text me and a couple other people text me the day it happened, and it's something you refuse to believe, but
because he was quite young.
Yeah, I don't think Sean was much in his 50s, if in his 50s.
You're right.
At all. We didn't communicate a ton, but we poked back and forth here and there, but I followed Sean. He was very active on social media, so I was always knowing who he was working with and what he was doing. But when I was going into my 20-year-old season, Todd brought Sean in, and I got a message from him. It was late in July, and he said he was looking forward to work with me, and he was very positive and very excited. And he actually worked with Nick McBride down in Vancouver, right. So we kind of had an instant connection between the three of us there. So I went out and worked with Sean in that summer, and I remember our first skate with Sean. We got out there, and Sean wasn't the greatest player, but he had a very accurate shot for a goalie coach. So I remember I sat down and my butterfly, and he put about, I think it was probably five or six beside each year, and I probably missed most of them. And mm-hmm. he goes, this is what we're doing wrong. This is what we need to change. And I would be lying to say if I wasn't reluctant after maybe having a bit of an ego saying, this is where I am. This is where I got to. And this is what's gotten me here. But Sean made some technical changes, and you just watched it with the videos in which he worked with these goalies, the changes that he made and the mechanics that he explained. And it all came together and it made sense. And I was able to pull teachings from him and from Justin and other goalie coaches all together. And Sean was a character, and we always had fun together, and he was always someone that you could joke with. But I know when I went to Lethbridge, he was one of the first people I told, and I was very thankful for everything he did for me. And you just watch the success rate of goalies that he put up through Burnaby Winter Club and North Shore Winter Club. And now you look at Josh, a guy that you would see on his social media for couple of years that you didn't really know of. You just saw he got listed, and then next thing you know, him and Tavin are pushing him through, and now you look at him starting, probably going into the playoffs by arguably the best team in the Western Conference. So Sean's dearly missed, and he was, like I said, Sean was a character, but he was an awesome guy. He would do anything for you, and he was an amazing goalie coach. And Tavin and his partner Rob there, are very fortunate they were able to work with Sean and carry on his legacy.
Yeah, and so you could see where Josh had the benefit, Josh Ravensbergen had the benefit of that coaching that helped get him to where he is, you know, today, kind of a thing. You mentioned Todd, which was Todd Harkins. You also mentioned Nick McBride, one of your backup goaltenders, or, you know, you played more games than he did, but he got his chance too. You mentioned about the fact that you had a lot of goalies that you played with. Any that you sort of keep in touch with or anything like that? Or is there any particular members of the PG Cougars from the past that you sort of keep in touch with?
Yeah, a decent amount. You lose touch with a lot of guys, but you keep in touch over social media. You kind of see where our guys' lives are and where they're trending and what they're doing. But Nick and Mac are probably the two that I keep most in touch with. So Mac, we only played a couple months together, and he actually got pushed out with Nick coming in. And right. Nick was my longest tenured partner for, I'd probably say, a year and a half, just over that. So mm-hmm. We keep in touch, and we try to connect when we see each other. But guys like Josh Anderson, my billet brother, obviously he just had a set of twins about 6 months ago. So we have a common connection there that keeps us in touch and keeps us laughing and following each other's lives. But yeah, Nick worked with Sean, and so him and I had a good connection, and the three of us had a good connection. And then Mac was another one that I try and see when I can when I'm out east. But yeah, it's tough to try and keep in contact with everyone, but there's a couple of guys you still talk to pretty much day to day.
With the excitement in Prince George with this season's Cougar team, which is the best PG Cougars team ever for the regular season. They're going to have to see what happens in the playoffs. Do you feel that energy? Do you feel that excitement as well? Are you more, you know, because they went through after, you know, you left, they went through some down years and all that, missing the playoffs. It just hasn't happened overnight that they've got to this particular point. But now the crowds are getting back this year, averaging between 3,500, just about what you average at 3,600 and 16-17. So that's going to be the second biggest crowds in the last 20 years. Do you sort of feel that now, and, you know, with that pride of being, you know, associated with this hockey team?
Yeah, it's you definitely feel the buzz more. And like I said, when I say we, I mean the organization from year to year is having success. You hear about it more and more in the town. More people want to talk about it. More people want to bring it up. And it's exciting. I must say, after 3 or 4 years, I kind of lost touch with guys that I that aged out that I actually play with. So like everyone now, of course, is brand new to me year to year. So just seeing what they did last year and getting that victory. And then I didn't really know much about them coming into the season. I didn't know if it was going to be better or it was going to be the same or it was going to take a step back. And I didn't know what to expect. And now you look at them, it's even better than what it was last year. And I talk to people and just say they seem to bring in these 20-year-olds that that kind of up and down, and then all of a sudden they come into Prince George, and I don't know what it is. The last 2 years we've gotten these 20-year-olds that come in, and
Wheatcroft and Funk averaging a goal a game and all that.
They light it up and they sign NHL contracts. And my dad and I were laughing about it. I don't really know where Mark finds these guys, but if you're a 20-year-old, you might want to come here, and if you're a forward, that's for sure.
Well, Vallis is going to be 20, and he was a 19-year-old they picked up from Regina. And I think the plans are for him to be a 20, so who knows, maybe he can follow in those footsteps. What advice would you offer the PG Cougars in that the similarity – well, there's some differences between the two teams from 16-17 to this year. And I think the biggest difference is that in 16-17, you had an older team and you knew it was sort of all or nothing. This year, they are going to have a lot of good players coming back. They may not be as strong next year, depending on how you want to look at it. Some may think they're going to be as strong. Maybe some may even think a little stronger. But if they do take a step back, it's not going to be a gigantic step back. They're still going to have a very good team next year, and they're going to be very good when Parizak and Ravensbergen are 19 years old. So they're going to be good for a while. But the similarity is there is going to be pressure. They are going to be going in as favorites, particularly in the first round, where everyone's going to expect them to win. They should win based on talent. Second round, there's going to be, you know, expectations as well. If they can get to the third round, by then, I don't want to say the pressure is off, but they will be probably co-favorites or something like that. So as somebody that has faced some pressure and all of those kinds of things, what's the best advice you could give a Prince George player knowing what's about to happen?
Oh, boy. Not a lot of playoff victories under my belt, so it's hard to kind of put them in my shoes and say, do this or do that. But for me, it would just be enjoy the moment. I think about the, it's funny how short the first round is, second round, whatever it may be. It's, even with four or five or six games, it's only a span of 8 or 9 days. So it's the difference between ending your career and moving on. So I would just enjoy every moment and trust what got you guys here. And it's exciting to see it. I think that was our problem for years is we were always a 6, 7, 8, 9 seed team. And we were never able to get to the Kelownas and the Vancouvers and the Portlands where we were first to fourth every other year, first to sixth, whatever it may be. So they can lean on what they did last year, and it's nice to see they're still a younger team. So they can build off of what they did last year and this year and then the year on moving forward. But it's nice to see that consistency kind of coming into place where now it's we can do this every single year, and we're not expecting just to get into playoffs. It's let's get into playoffs and get home ice at least for the first round.
Right. What was the highlight of your career? And I know there were a number of them, and you mentioned that, you know, there weren't a lot of playoff wins, but you had some individual highlights. When you take a look and think of, you know, what you were able to accomplish, is there a game? Is there a moment? Is there a save that sticks out?
Probably our last home and home with Kamloops when...
This is 16-17?
Yes, yeah. My last year there when we had to win 3 out of the 4 points to clinch the division. So I remember winning in Kamloops, and that put me to 100 wins, and that's what I needed for my current milestone. But I just think back to earlier in my 20-year-old year when... I'm assuming it was probably Ted and the Citizen came out with an article, and he broke down, or maybe it was my 19th year, he broke down all of the categories that I was in line for. And I really had no clue. I didn't know. And I say all that humbly because of the teams I was with and the guys I played with got me to where I needed to be, but I didn't really realize all that. And so when it kind of all came to an end at, in our last regular season game, when we got our point, we finally put a banner up and hit those milestones. And selfishly, every year, I hope the records stay the same. But I'm sure one day, with the way they're trending, they will get broken. But I think for me, it was just finishing off with, and some people may see it as meaningless with how our playoffs went, but putting a banner up in the CN Center, it's something that when you go there to watch games or you go there to practice or skate with friends, that it's something that you can remember and look at and tell people that you guys did. And now that we have a second one coming in and hopefully a third, fourth, and a fifth, then it's just something that'll live on from there. But I have so many memories that we could be here for hours with off the ice, on the ice, highs to lows. But like I said, I just towards the end, it's just thinking about all the people that got you there and all the coaches and all your teammates. And I can't speak highly enough of my teammates for them being there, because I wouldn't have gotten to where I am today.
So that banner means a lot to you then.
Yeah, it was, we were pretty bare there for a while. And I remember I think we were down 1-0 to Kamloops in the second, and we came back and we tied it up, and we got into overtime, and one of my buddies was on Kamloops, and he skated down and he gave us some congratulations, and it was nice to realize, hey, we finally were able to put something up. And it's funny now looking back, if we would have lost that game in regulation, we might have been playing a different team, and who knows, we might have had a different result. But at the end of the day, we put something up, and when you look at that banner, you think about all the other guys on the team, the coaching staff, the personnel, and guys that you still talk to this day that you'll never forget. So yeah, it is something that I'm really proud of, and it's something that it's nice to see when you go back to the CN Center.
Now, it was sort of a unique situation because you went into that Saturday game at home against Kamloops needing 1 point to clinch first, and you got the 1 point. The celebration was on. You did lose the game. I don't know if it was overtime or shootout,
yeah,
one of the
shootout,
two.
Yeah.
Shootout.
Yeah.
So that probably was the best loss of your life.
Yeah, it was. It was the first game my dad ever made it to in Prince George. I think Kim and my mom and my in-laws were up in a box, and they were able to watch me play my last regular season home game. So that was meaningful for me. But yeah, it was. It's you always forget that we ended up losing that game, but it's something where, you know what, we got to the one of our goals, and we weren't able to check all the boxes off. But it's one goal that I know everyone can look back and be proud of.
So after the game, what was the dressing room like in Kamloops, and was that a different feeling than any other time that you were a PG Cougar?
Yes and no. I think the best, other than that, one of the better team feelings I think we had was when I was 18. We went through that slump, and then I think we played Edmonton in a home series at home, and I think it was actually my 100th game, and I think we swept the series there, and then we went on kind of a magical run to finish off the season, and I think we actually played Kamloops there. I think we had like a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday against Kamloops, and we ended up winning Wednesday, and then we won Friday, and then I remember coming off the ice and realizing that we were able to clinch playoffs for the first time in many years, my first time in the Western League. So that was a pretty exciting feeling, but I'd say they probably compared pretty similar because we knew we were making playoffs, but it was a goal we reached, and before that we didn't know we were making playoffs, and that was a goal that was very much out of reach that we did end up reaching. So,
talking about the Prince George Cougars, how special is that for you? Just having general conversations about the team that you, we talked about the fact you're in your mid-20s now, when you get to be mid-30s, 40s, 50s, in my age bracket and even older, you're always going to have that. So what is that? How does that mean to you?
It means a ton. I think some people kind of dismiss their junior hockey career, but for me, it was everything. And you get the fun poked at you by your friends and people you may know about maybe your status on the team and where everything was and this and that. And it's very much enjoyable, and it's something that I'm very much looking forward to my son seeing. And whether he plays hockey or doesn't like hockey or whatever it may be, I'm just excited for him to go to a game and realize that his dad played out there. And that was something that he got to live out his dream, so I'm hoping one day he can do the same. But at least for me, it's for my family, and especially for my son now, it's something that I'm excited to continue to wear with pride and pass down.
So you were put on skates at what, 2 or 3, you said?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere 3? In that age, I was told. So.
Okay, so how young is he going to be before? Your son's name is?
Charlie.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay, so how old is Charlie going to be before he gets the skates on?
I don't know. He's kicking like crazy now, so hopefully sooner than later. But it's funny. People mm-hmm. ask you what sports he wants to play, and I'll always say not a goalie, maybe a right-shot defenseman, something that maybe one day he'll be making the big bucks. But for me, if he plays hockey, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I want him to know how to skate and get to go out there and play with his friends. And if he finds a different passion, whether it's sports or whether in life, it's so be it. But I know it's something that with our family and our sports that we love, that it's something that I know he'll care about whether he plays or not.
So if Charlie comes to you one day and says, Dad, I want to play goal, you're going to say what?
I'm going to either say you might need to get a job or wait until you can fit my old gear with the prices of gear now.
It's right.
Something you don't realize when you're playing, and then yeah, when you get out and you talk to your dad about it and your mom, you realize, oh, it was actually pretty expensive.
Right. So, well, I guess you have to get used equipment or things like that. I guess it takes getting to the WHO level before everything's sort of taken care of.
Yeah, and it is. I was fortunate that way, but I'm sure he'll be dressed in the best. He's got some great grandparents, so I know they will spoil him no matter what he wants.
Well, it's been really enjoyable reminiscing and talking about the PG Cougars and your career and, you know, anything that you want to relay to the PG Cougar fans or, you know, the diehards that listen to podcasts, that follow the team, anything that maybe we haven't touched on. And the last time you and I got together for podcasts was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You just sort of retired at that particular point, different stage in life now. Any final thoughts or any stories that you want to pass on?
No, thank you very much. I'm excited to be back, and I look forward to seeing what the team can do. So with my work schedule, I'm hoping I can make it to a game. But I would just say enjoy every moment. And I know the diehards that have been there since day one have been through the very lows and the highs and highs. So like I said a couple questions back, it's good to see this consistency, and it's good to see them building every single year. And it's good to know that the future is bright, if not brighter, every single year moving forward. And that's something that we just have to strive for as a team, as a franchise, is to continue to have that consistency. I'm sure there'll be a down year here and there, but enjoy every moment and enjoy the playoffs. And I look forward to watching these guys play and watching the graduating players move on after this.
Now, you're very well spoken, and you were when you were playing with the Cougars. Is that something that's always come natural, or was that something you had to work at?
Probably natural, but it's probably just teaching to my parents. So just the way I was raised and the way I was taught to respect others and how to treat others and just value every opportunity such as this, that where you get to communicate with someone and talk about yourself. So I try not to talk about myself too much. I'm sure my wife would disagree, but it's something where I just enjoy doing this kind of stuff, and I want to make sure that everything I say is portrayed correctly, and hopefully it makes sense to everyone on the
It's the Winnipeg values. You know, so. Those of us that come from Winnipeg, we have certain values that we have to maintain, right?
We don't understand it out here, no.
Yeah, no, for sure. All the best to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Ty Edmonds is a former Prince George Cougars goaltender and still holds a record for most wins by a Cougars goaltender all time with 100. You have been listening to the Cats Can Podcast. Have a great one.